Senate will be in session. Members and guests, please rise for the invocation by Chaplain Johnson of the Senate. Remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. Chaplain Johnson.
Let's pray together. God, we thank you again for the privilege it is to live in the splendor of this state. And in some way, we serve to say thank you. We serve to pave a way to the future for future generations and to pass on to others what we have received. We thank you for your help this week so far, in which we've dealt with challenging issues. God, in times of uncertainty, we seek certainty in you. In times of lack of clarity, we seek clarity in you. Today, give us understanding of things we may not fully understand. We pray for those new insights, and we pray for the peace that can be found in you. Thank you, God. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Secretary will take the roll. Senator McClafferty.
Mr. President, 50 members are present.
50 members being present. Senate's ready for business. That objection will go to order business number 2, reports of standing committees.
Mr. President, we are committed on agriculture, livestock, and irrigation. Report that House Bills 821 and 80 be concurred in. Senator Mike Lang, Chair. Mr. President, we are committed on energy and telecommunications. Report that Senate Resolution 72 be adopted. Senator Walt Sales, Chair. Mr. President, we are committed on finance and claims. Report that House Bill 883 be concurred in as amended. Senator John Esp, Chair. Mr. President, we are committee on fish and game. Report that Senate Resolutions 32 and 36 do pass. Senator Steve Heinbaugh, Chair. Mr. President, we are committee on Senate on Highways and Transportation. Report that Senate Resolution 74 be adopted as amended. Senator Teresa Manzella, Chair. Mr. President, we are committee on local government. Report that House Bill 874 be concurred in. Senator Chris Fidel, Chair. That is all, Mr. President.
That objection, the committee reports are adopted. We'll go to order of business number 11, special orders of the day. We only got one person today that's going to be talking about their time, and that is Senator Regeer. So, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the Senate. Tell you a few things about me. I grew up on a farm in the Midwest. Both of my grandpas were born in Russia. One of them had to flee when the Bolsheviks were taking over. And that's kind of learned some things from them. My dad had a big influence on me, loved farming. He was a hard worker, self-sufficient. If an implement broke, he'd be welding in the shop the morning the implement was ready to go. I saw him and I saw my uncle. They had farmed during the day and then they built an irrigation drilling rig in the shop. In the wintertime, they were drilling wells. My grandpas came here because U.S. had opportunity, not handouts. Opportunity, land of opportunity. And that was my dad. You know, at the end of the day, we were tired, but we accomplished something, you could see, and we felt good about that. So I learned the work ethic there. Dad always said, make something of yourself. Now, you might think this is child abuse, but when I look back, it wasn't. I was 9 years old, and he put me on an H Farmall tractor with a two-bottom trip plow. That's no hydraulics. You had to reach to a cord and pull it, and then it would come up, and there was no power steering on that tractor. And Dad made sure I had enough room to... He said, if you get too close to the fence, just hit the kill switch and come home. But I had to slide off the seat, crank it around and line it up down the furrow, pull the trip plow, and then at nine, it was good. I learned to work. It was good. It was a good life. When I got to college, I had a blind date. You guys probably don't know what a blind date is. You could ask some of the older ones here. Had a blind date in college, and on the first date, she was talking about going to Montana, the mountains in Montana. And I thought, no, nobody do that. That's way up north out there, permafrost. But lo and behold, she did. The end of the semester, I came out to see her, and I got off the airplane, and it was, wow, this is Montana? It was fantastic. Flathead Lake, Glacier Park, Hungry Horse Dam, Big Mountain, Flathead National Forest, hike, fish, camp. What's not to like, right? Remember, I grew up in the Midwest. All the lakes and farm ponds look like chocolate milk. But in the Flathead, you could see the bottom of the lakes. It was fantastic. It's a great place to live, raise a family, to work. And I was honored to be able to teach kids in the Flathead. 28 years of teaching sixth grade taught me a lot. That was a fun age. That pre-adolescent, adolescent age, they're really kind of deciding what they're going to be like when they grow up. It's really an important time. Sixth grade curriculum starts getting a little more challenging as well. How many of you can divide fractions? Being in the legislature was not something that I thought I would be doing when I was working, raising a family, but I think we all have our own path to getting involved in the legislature. I had some that were involved politically, and they encouraged me to get involved, and not knowing what I was doing, I found out just like the rest of us. We get in there and figure it out. My first session was in 2009. And, you know, people say, I wish I'd just get along down there. Well, we do. We have differences of opinion. Sometimes it gets heated, but we get along. Develop friendships that are going to last the rest of my life. And it's really quite a fraternity that we develop here. And disputes are respectful, and I think it's a good situation. It's a good way to do it. It's a good system. You know, it's an honor, and it's a great responsibility we have in setting policy for this state. And I hope none of you take that lightly. Those of you that are going to be coming back, I want to remind you that this country was founded on Judeo-Christian values, and that's what made this country great. Legislation with a biblical foundation will serve Montana well. I always think of this phrase, what is popular is not always right, and what is right is not always popular. Well, I might be saying goodbye to the Senate, but I'm not saying goodbye to Montana. I love Montana and want to keep it great. And by the way, 47 years later, I'm still on that blind date. And to divide fractions, you invert the divisor and multiply. Mr. President.
Thank you for your service, Senator. That objection will go to order of business number 7, a second reading of bills. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. President, I move the Senate resolve itself in the Committee of the Whole for the consideration of business on second reading.
You've heard the motion of the Majority Leader. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Will Senator Beard please take the chair?
Members of the Senate, please be in order. Members, you have before you Conference Committee for Senate Bill 6. What is your pleasure, Senator Gross?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that when the committee does rise and report after having had under consideration the Conference Committee report to the Governor's amendments to Senate Bill 6, I recommend the same be adopted, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Senator Gross.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, members. Thank you to the members of the Law and Justice Interim Committee and those who participated in the Conference Committee, particularly Senator Esp and Representative Cafaro, who have been working on this issue for a very long time. Quick reminder, this bill deals with a small segment of our population who have been committed to the state hospital, found guilty by reason of mental illness. And in the Conference Committee report, we have amended the governor's amendments, so we have retained, I believe, the original intent of the bill as it came out of the interim committee while making a couple of adjustments. I feel good about the bill, and I would like us to pass it along to the governor, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, the question now arises on the motion of Senator Gross that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration Conference Committee for Senate Bill 6, it recommends the same be concurred in. All those in favor signify by voting aye. Those opposed vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 50 senators vote aye.
50 senators having voted aye, Conference Committee amendments to Senate Bill 6 have been concurred in. Members of the Senate, please be in order. You have before you for your consideration House amendments to Senate Bill 47. Senator Manzella.
Madam Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration the House amendments to Senate Bill 47, that it recommend the same be concurred in, Madam Chair.
Senator Manzella.
Madam Chair, members of the Senate, I would refer you to page 7. There is a two-word amendment on line 17. This was an amendment that was originally, the original amendment was put in by the Finance and Claims Committee that required a bus driver to have at least 2 years of experience driving a school bus in Montana. The department had indicated that that would be a unicorn to have 10 years of experience and 2 years of experience driving a bus, that would be something, a mythical creature. So instead we changed the wording to preferably has. So we will definitely try to find that mythical creature, but in the absence of one, this makes it workable. Please do concur.
Thank you. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, Senator Manzella closes. Okay, the question now arises on the motion of Senator Manzella that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration House amendments to Senate Bill 47, that the same be concurred in. All those in favor vote aye. Those in, opposed vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 47 senators vote aye and 3 senators vote nay.
47 senators having voted aye and 3 having voted no, House amendments to Senate Bill 47 are concurred in. Members of the Senate, please be in order. You have before you Conference Committee for Senate Bill 19. Senator Regeer.
Madam Chairman, I move when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Conference Committee amendment on Senate Bill 19. It recommend the same be adopted, Madam Chair.
Senator Regeer.
Members of the committee, Senate Bill 19 dealt with disorderly conduct. the House had put an amendment on back on page 2 that was confusing for all of those that were on the committee. It was unanimous to remove that amendment. I ask you to adopt.
Is there discussion? Seeing none, Senator Regeer closes on conference committee amendment. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Regeer that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration conference committee for Senate Bill 19, it recommends the same do pass, same be adopted. All those in favor signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 48 senators vote aye and 2 senators vote nay.
48 senators having voted aye and 2 having voted no. Conference Committee Amendment to Senate Bill 19 has been concurred in. Members of the committee, you have before you House amendments to Senate Bill 123. Senator Hertz.
Madam Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House amendments to Senate Bill 123 and recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Hertz.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, if you look on page 1 of the bill, line 16 through 18, I worked with the House on this. This bill, as I remind you, just requires you to place on the ballot $100,000, $300,000, and $600,000 home when you're looking at the impact of property tax on bond levies. And the new language says that the local government may replace that $600,000 value with an estimate of the impact on the election of a different value. It just allows, there's some communities that have lower values, higher values, and it gives them a little bit more information they can put on the ballot for taxpayers. So I'd request to do concur. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator Hertz waves off. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Hertz that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House amendments to Senate Bill 123, it recommends the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 34 senators vote aye and 16 senators vote nay.
34 senators having voted aye and 16 having voted no. House amendments to Senate Bill 123 have been concurred in. Members of the body, you have before you House amendments to Senate Bill 458. Senator Glimm.
Madam Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration the House amendments to Senate Bill 458, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Glimm.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to take a little cue from my mentor, Senator Heinbaugh, and we're going to do the same thing on this bill with one proponent being me and one opponent from the minority in light of the day. Madam Chairman, members of the committee, today, about a month ago, we passed this Senate Bill 458, and the House made some changes that are friendly amendments and makes this a better bill. They simply adjusted the definition of male and female to better define the intersex issue that we spoke about, and we actually tried to address that here on this floor. The lawyers got involved and came up with a better amendment for that. And so that's actually the exact same amendment that we put on to Senate Bill 99 in the governor's amendments about last week. So this keeps that same definition being consistent together and creates clear and consistent definitions across code. And I ask for a do concur. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any discussion on the bill, on the amendments? Senator Gross.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. The House amendments to Senate Bill 458 do not, in my opinion, make this bill any better. We are left with unworkable, unconstitutional, and unscientific definitions that exclude individuals who are intersex and Montanans who are transgender. The House amendments are only found on pages 1 and 2, but they continue to touch 41 sections of code, which is extremely problematic, and I would urge us to reject the House amendments, Madam Chair.
Is there any further discussion? Seeing none. Senator Glimp. He waves off. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Glimm that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House amendments to Senate Bill 458, it recommend the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of this motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 31 senators vote aye and 19 senators vote nay.
31 senators having voted aye and 19 having voted no, House amendments to Senate Bill 458 have been concurred in. Members of the House, you have before you House amendments, or members of the Senate, you have before you House amendments to Senate Bill 540 for your consideration. Senator Zolnikoff.
Madam Chair, I move that when this committee is rising report after having had under consideration the House amendments to Senate Bill 540, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Zolnikoff.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. So this bill was the clarify a vision for the tourism money in Montana, and a lot of this was more clarification than change. Some lines are struck, but that language was actually put from F, G, and H into A for more flexible spending. So wayfinding is still in there. It's just maybe 1 year you spend a lot, and the next four you don't need to spend a lot. So why would we have a mandated amount go to that proportion? Another thing that was clarified was staff, from how it was written, would have had to be paid for by the time they spent in each of these sections. That's an accounting nightmare, and that wasn't necessary either. And then we capped the revolving loan program to $35 million. I think that's pretty much the bulk of it. So if you have any questions, I'm here. Thank you. Please vote yes.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator Zolnikoff waves off. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Zolnikoff that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House amendments to Senate Bill 540, it recommends the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote. Senator Lang.
Madam Chair, 48 senators vote aye and 2 senators vote nay.
48 senators having voted aye and 2 having voted no, House amendments to Senate Bill 540 have been concurred in. Members of the Senate, you have before you House amendments to Senate Bill 557. Senator Noland.
Madam Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House amendment to House Senate Bill number 557, I recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Noland.
Members, insert in the House amendments insert some legislative intent language in the whereas clauses. It also removes the provisions related to identification of source of funding and the charitable tax treatment provisions. And it makes clear that a challenge cannot result in a vesture of a permit if the challenge is brought based upon alleged deficiencies in the evaluation of non-regulated greenhouse gases. With that, I request that we do concur, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none, would the senator like to close? The senator closes. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Noland that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House amendments to Senate Bill 557, that it recommends the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 34 senators vote aye and 16 senators vote nay.
34 senators having voted aye and 16 having voted no, House amendments to Senate Bill 557 have been concurred in. Members of the Senate, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 874. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 874, introduced by Brewster, a bill for an act entitled an act generally revising laws related to subdivision and planning, revising the fee amounts that a local government may assess for the examination of exempt divisions of land, and amending sections.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Madam Chair.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 5.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 874. What is your pleasure? Senator Mandeville.
Madam Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration House Bill 874, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Mandeville.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. If you know much about me, you'll know that I don't much like fee increases. However, I'm going to tell you why I do support this bill. This bill raises the fee for that a local governing body might charge for an exempt survey review from $200 to $400. The reason I'm bringing this, or the reason this bill was brought, is because $200 just does not cover the time it takes for the governing body to do that review, to run it through planning staff, maybe attorney staff, clerk and recorder, treasurer, etc. So what we're doing is we're subsidizing development. We're subsidizing a survey review at the local level. So all this does is raise that a little bit. The testimony we heard is that it does cost about $400 to review a survey. And also this is a maximum, so local governing bodies will still be able to charge less than the $400 if they so choose. So I request to do concur on this, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Seeing no amendments, is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing no discussion, Senator waves off. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Mandeville that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 874, it recommends the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. Those opposed, vote no. Do any members wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 50 senators vote aye.
50 senators having voted aye, House Bill 874 has been concurred in. Members of the body, please be in order. Members, you now have before you House Bill 890 for consideration. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 890, introduced by Barker and others, a bill for an act entitled an act providing for increased transparency and accountability in government by requiring certain government entities to record their public meetings in audio and video format, requiring those entities to make the audio and video recordings available online following the public meeting, providing exceptions, providing an appropriation, superseding local government unfunded mandate laws, amending sections, and providing effective dates.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Madam Chair.
The clerk will read the sections.
1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 890. What is your pleasure, Senator Zolnikoff?
Madam Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 890, that I recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Zolnikoff.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the body. This piece of legislation creates the mandate for cities and counties to record their meetings. This is not a flat mandate. There are some exceptions in place. So let's start with that. This is for governing boards of first and second class cities where they'd have to have video and audio recorded, as well as a first or second class school district board and a local board of health. But the first-in-class cities would have to have video. The third-class city would have audio, and a fourth-class city would not be mandated. That's under 1,000. In a very small town, if you don't know what's going on, then you might want to plug into the community a little bit more. So the other side of it is if it's a county under 4,500, then that would just require audio because some people were concerned about the costs and impacts of having this recorded. With today's technology, audio is very affordable, and also it makes it much more easy to upload and have available as well, because video can be quite large of files. So I'm think we caught most of this. I hope you support it. I'm here for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no amendments, is there any discussion on the bill? Senator Olson.
Madam Chair, a question for the carrier, please.
Does the carrier yield?
I do.
Madam Chair, Senator, I guess my question goes to, if we think the public right to know and to maintain these records is important enough, why isn't it something that we're going to fund so that everybody is required to follow the same requirements?
Madam Chair, Senator, that's a fair question. We talked about this, and the cost to do so larger area cities are already doing it. So that's one thing. Smaller ones, we were talking about the cost to record and upload, and the way you can do it with the permanent record being the minutes, you can upload it for free, have it available for free, and recording technology that you can use on a computer, which I'm pretty sure most places have a computer, is less than a few $100s. Now, you put on the flip side of how much we are funding and attempting to fund roads and everything else like that, asking a few $100s to finally qualify Montana in 2023 to follow constitutional right to know, I think is a pretty fair ask. That's why the changes and amendments were made, to make sure it wasn't a huge financial burden.
Quick follow-up, Madam Chair.
Follow-up.
Madam Chair, Senator, do we know what the timeline is for all of our rural communities to be adequately and reliably, safely and securely connected to the internet?
Madam Chair, Senator, so this doesn't have to be safely and securely tied to the internet or have availability, because it doesn't have to be live streamed. That would be costly, expensive, timely, have software. It just has to be recorded and uploaded. And one other thing in the bill, that if people were concerned about it, if it's the minutes for the meeting where you're setting up the agenda, the minutes just need to be available, not the recording online. The recording has to be kept, but not available, just the minutes. So it's when there's executive decisions being made, that has to be available. We're just trying to get it there, but this really eased up a lot of people's concerns who were opposed.
Thank you. Madam Chair, speak to the bill. Madam Chair, members, it seems like we're making improvement in making sure that the public has access to information that we as government are doing, but I'd really like us to remember that we're a rural community, a rural state, and to really provide equity and access, we might really want to think about how we're going to do that and make sure that we fund that for everybody in Montana. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Further discussion, Senator Dunwell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was one of those doubting Thomases at the beginning when we heard this in committee. I was a no, but the sponsor was able to work with myself and the organization that represents towns and cities and counties. And if you flip over on the fiscal note, you'll see that as amended, this requirement to record public meetings in an audio and video format is voluntary for counties. So there's no longer a significant fiscal impact associated with the legislation proposed for these, especially these smaller rural communities that are maybe strapped for funds more so than the larger ones. So, and my two initial concerns about the unfunded mandate that was allayed and gone, and my other concern about records retention, we addressed that too. So this is a good bill. Vote yes.
Thank you. Senator Olson, do you have further discussion? Thank you. Seeing no further discussion, Senator Zelnikov, would you like to close? He closes. All right. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Zelnikov that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 890, it recommends the same be concurred in. All those in favor vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Senator Noland, thank you. The clerk will read the vote.
Madam Chair, 41 senators vote aye and 9 senators vote nay.
41 senators having voted aye and 9 having voted no, House Bill 890 has been concurred in. Members of the Senate, you have before you House Amendments to Senate Bill 382. Senator Gross.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is not my bill.
Oh, I'm sorry. Senator Mandeville.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that when this committee does arise and report, after having had under consideration House Amendments to Senate Bill 382, that I recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Mandeville.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is the Land Use Planning Act that went through this chamber a month or so ago, and I mentioned it yesterday as part of a study resolution as well. This went through the House. They made some good amendments. We had as many stakeholders as we could involved, made some changes, particularly to address the comments from those stakeholders, some extensive changes to address some concerns from surveyors. So I think we have a really strong bill now, and there is an implementation period of a couple of years, so we will continue to work on this through the interim and make changes next session if need be. But I think it's a good bill, and I would appreciate your support, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator closes. The question now rises on the motion of Senator Mandeville that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Amendments to Senate Bill 382, that the same would be concurred in. All those in favor, vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. Do any members wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 50 senators vote aye.
50 senators having voted aye, House Amendments to Senate Bill 382 have been concurred in. Okay, members of the body, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 312. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill. Stand by, please. House Bill 312. Stand by, members. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam Chair, why don't we stand at ease? We're going to pass out a second agenda anyway here, so we can just stand at ease for, let's say, 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Without objection, we'll stand at ease.
Okay.
Members of the Senate, please be in order. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We do have a second agenda out, so before we get going here, I'm going to move to pass consideration of House Bill 479 for the day.
Without objection.
And then, Madam Chair, we're going to move House Bill 424 to the bottom of the board.
Without objection. Okay. Members of the Senate, please be in order. Members, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 312. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 312, introduced by Etchert and others, a bill for an act entitled an act providing for a designation of rural emergency hospitals, establishing requirements for designation, providing a definition, providing rulemaking authority, amending sections, and providing an effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Madam Chair.
The clerk will read the sections.
1 through 11.
Let's see, members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 312. What is your pleasure, Senator Gross?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that when the committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration House Bill 312, I recommend the same be concurred in, Madam Chair.
Senator Gross.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, House Bill 312 allows hospitals in rural areas to adopt and transition to, if they choose, a rural emergency hospital. This is a new designation for hospitals under CMS, and this is sort of a last-ditch effort that critical access hospitals that are operating on razor-thin margins to keep their doors open. So this is not mandatory, it's totally optional. It's a good bill, it's an important option and to make available for our rural areas and our folks in need of care in those areas. I would ask for a yes. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Seeing no amendments, is there any discussion on the bill? Seeing none. Senator Gross, would you like to close on your bill? She closes. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Gross that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration House Bill 312, it recommend the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Do any members wish to change their vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 46 senators vote aye and 4 senators vote nay.
46 senators having voted aye and 4 having voted no. House Bill 312 has been concurred in upon second reading. Members of the body, you now have before you for your consideration House Bill 55. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 55, introduced by Logie and Fitzpatrick by request of the Transportation Intern Committee, a bill for an act entitled NAC, establishing a tax on electric vehicle charging stations, providing a Department of Labor and Industry inspection, providing rulemaking authority, providing for installation of electric meters and the remittance of taxes, reducing additional electric vehicle registration fees for Montana residents when the tax on charging goes into effect, providing that a charging station owner shall provide certain information upon registration with the Department of Transportation, providing definitions, amending section, and providing delayed effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Madam Chair.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 11.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 55. What is your pleasure, Senator Solomon?
Madam Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration House Bill 55, that recommend the same be concurred in. Madam Chair, this is a provides for installation of electric meters and remittance of taxes for electric vehicle and also electrical vehicle registrations.
Are there any amendments?
Madam Chair, I move to amend House Bill 55 with Amendment HB 0055.005.001, signed Senator Solomon.
Thank you. Senator Solomon.
Madam Chair, I move that House Bill 55 be amended and request that the amendment 55.5.1 be posted and deemed read.
Senator Solomon.
It's a pretty simple amendment if you look at it. Go all the way to the back page, I believe, and it just says it authorizes a quarter of a cent per kilowatt hour to cover associated costs with the collection of the tax, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Is there any discussion on the amendment? Seeing none. Senator Solomon, would you care to close on your amendment?
This is just pretty standard that they need to be able to have the ability to collect a little bit of money for the cost of collecting the tax, Madam Chair.
The question now arises on the motion of Senator Solomon that House Bill 55 be amended. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. The clerk will record the vote. Senator Cuff?
Madam Chair, 42 senators vote aye and 8 senators vote nay.
Thank you. 42 senators having voted aye and 8 senators having voted no. The amendment passes. Are there any further amendments?
Madam Chair, I move to amend House Bill 55 with Amendment HB 005.005.002, signed Senator Solomon.
Senator Solomon.
Madam Chair, I move that when House Bill 55 should be amended and request Amendment 55.5.2 be posted and deemed read.
Senator Solomon.
Again, a fairly simple amendment brought by the sponsor that wanted to put the date back. If you look and see, it just changes the date back to 2023 on all of these. That was his original intent with the bill, and he would like to see this go into effect as soon as it could. Madam Chair.
Thank you. Is there any discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, Senator Solomon.
I close.
Thank you. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Solomon that House Bill 55 be amended. As many as are in favor of the amendment, vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. Senator Usher? Senator Boldman? The clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 33 senators vote aye and 17 senators vote nay.
33 senators having voted aye and 17 having voted no, the amendment passes. Are there any further amendments?
None, Madam Chair.
Is there a further discussion on the motion on House Bill 55 as amended twice? Senator Bartel.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee. I've just been looking at this bill when it came across in Senate Finance and Claims, and to me this just seems like this is just a busy bill. It's a busy bill for the state employees, and it also requires the co-ops and electric company providers to do some more work. And if you look at on the assumptions, MTD is going to have two people, the software developers, up front to get this going at approximately $244,000, and you see our first year we might net $331,000, and then we're going to have to, after that we're going to net $140,000 a year, and we're going to spend $61,000 probably on a half-time employees. So when I look at this, I don't think that we are ready for this, and this fiscal note also was on an estimate that as many electric cars show up that they say they're going to. So I think we're just a little bit ahead of the game, and so I'm going to be a no on this. Thank you.
Further discussion, Senator Zelnikov.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If we're one short Dan of having every Dan talk on this one, just so you put it out there. All right. So here's one thing I want you to consider. It's really hard to put the infrastructure in place for a up-and-coming industry once it's already adopted, because then there will be many entities opposing working to stop or change legislation. So this is a foundational piece of legislation for a new and upcoming industry. If you haven't noticed the news lately, by 2030 to 2035, most manufacturers of vehicles are going to go electric only. How and even why, I'm not here to answer that question. but I am here to say what their goals are. So when we rely on a gas tax when you purchase gas, there's a tax, and that goes to roads, it goes to highway matches. When that goes away, there will be nothing in place for the new industry to come in, and then people are going to be highly oppositional to anything. So this is getting ahead of the curve by a few years, testing it out, and having a few sessions in the future to fix it. Some people say, well, you know, they have a registration fee. So I'm going to paint a picture. Say I have an electric vehicle. I do not, but say I did. I charge it at home. I would have a registration fee. And that would basically be what covered some of that gas tax. And I think that's what they added in another bill. So it's not just the registration fee, but there's some type of fee on top of that. Now, if you're always driving around your town, you're never going to pay the tax on the charging station because you're using your home. But say, from Billings, I drive to Helena, and I drive back. Well, then I'm using the roads a lot more, and that means that when I charge, I'll have to pay some of the tax for the roads. Now, let's talk about out-of-staters. They drive through our state, and as we know, electric vehicles can be much heavier than a normal vehicle, so that even has more wear and tear. Without this bill, they will never pay a penny for our gas tax or for our roads, basically, because it's not gas anymore, it's electric charging tax. So that's what the goal is how do we fairly do it? I don't think a state has really nailed it. This is probably the closest attempt that makes the most sense to ensure that we are going to have a system in place in the future so we don't go bankrupt when it comes to a gas tax. That's the goal. I think this makes sense. And the good news, it's a new industry. So if you mess it up and need some tweaks, we have next session, probably the session after that, before it's a mass adopted type of technology. Please vote yes.
Thank you. Further discussion, Senator Emmerich.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a question for the carrier.
Does the carrier yield?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, Senator, kind of a bit of an odd question, but I'm assuming that we already tax the electricity that's going into individuals' homes, that's going into their businesses, and so on and so forth. Why would we need an additional tax for the charging stations? Why wouldn't we just, say, expand the uses of the current tax? Wouldn't that be a lot more effective? We already have a collection system in place for that.
Mr. Chairman, I have no idea if we tax electricity that goes into your home. There are ways to do it. I've got some stuff on what we're going to do here, but I have no idea if they already do. If somebody else has information on that, that's great, but I don't.
Senator Emmerich.
Re-refer, Madam
Chair.
Madam Chair, so about 15% of our energy bill is taxes, typically on the infrastructure side of it. There's also a transmission tax, but if we start using residential taxes to pay for it, we'll be paying again for the visitors of our state, just like we do with property taxes and not sales, and we're paying for them to visit, and we're paying for the infrastructure impact. So if we added it just to our homes and residential, commercial, everything else, we would be paying for the people visiting, and then when they charge on the charging station, they would be paying a little bit, but that's for the infrastructure side, would not go to the roadside. We would not be capturing that money.
Thank you.
Thank you. Further discussion, Senator Hertz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm not a Dan, if you haven't noticed, but I do agree with the younger Dan on in regards that we need to charge a fee to help our gas tax, but with the problem I have, I'm like the older Dan over here, I don't think the public utility should be collecting that fee. Our gas tax right now, as a retailer, you pay the wholesaler the fee, and then the retailer adds that on to the consumer. So I just don't like the idea of the public utility having to collect this. The individual who puts the charging station in, they should just collect the fee.
Further discussion, Senator Pope.
Madam Chair, members, this is a bill that just has a very simple message to it, which is that electric vehicles are ready to pay their way. And I think the good senator behind me made a good point, and over across the hall the way here, that we may not have this perfect. This is a very new, emerging, and I think things are changing almost on a weekly basis, Madam Chair. So, you know, it's important that we get this in place so that folks understand that electric vehicles will be on the roads and that they will pay their way. So this isn't a fringe thing. You can, you know, read the paper every single day that our auto manufacturers are going to spend hundreds of millions of dollars, if not billions of dollars. It's coming. Let's get this in place properly. Let's make the EVs pay their way. But let's make it also fair. So maybe there is some fine-tuning here someday. But for the time being, I appreciate the bill. Thank you. Please vote green.
Further discussion, Senator Usher.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think this is a good bill. And I had a bill that died that was going to charge an extra tax because when these electric vehicles catch on fire, if you've ever been by one of the scenes where there was one, it destroys our road. And it costs us as a state more to fix that than a normal combustible gas or diesel.
Senator Polk, did you have additional comments? Your button. Thank you. Seeing no further discussion, Senator Solomon, would you like to close on your bill?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Several things I discovered in the packet here. First, the charging station owner must install a dedicated electric meter which only records electricity used by the chargers. This is not expensive, and several chargers can be hooked to one meter, and they are paid for by the vendor. The tax is levied at the electric meter, not at the charger, and the tax is collected by the public utility who remits the tax payment to MDOT on a quarterly basis. This approach simplifies the administrative burden of the program. There are 29 public utilities in Montana versus potentially hundreds or thousands of charging station owners. The utilities are also 100% reliable. And the other thing, the system of tax collection exactly mirrors the system for the gas tax, which is collected and sent to the state by the fuel distributors, not the individual gas stations. So if enacted, Montana will have one of the simplest EV tax collection systems in the country. And here's the kicker, the cheapest to administer, Madam Chair.
Thank you. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Solomon that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration House Bill 55 as amended, it recommends the same be concurred in. All those in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member, Senator Olson, Senator Hayman? Senator Molnar? The clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 40 senators vote aye and 10 senators vote nay.
40 senators having voted aye and 10 having voted no, House Bill 55 has been concurred in. Members of the Senate, please be in order. Members, you have before you for your consideration Senate Joint Resolution 30. Senator Gillespie.
Madam Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Resolution 30, that it recommend the same do pass. Madam Chair.
Is there any discussion? Senator Curdy. I'm sorry. Okay. Senator Gillespie.
I'll start. I do have a partner on this, so then I'll defer the rest of my time across the aisle.
Certainly. There. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is a study bill in business and labor. We've got inundated this year with a lot of liquor bills. We're kind of tired of them, but this one is calling for an interim study of viticulture and wine distribution, as well as the regulation, the licensing, and required that the final results be delivered to the 69th legislature to help us out 2 years down the road. There's a minor problem here. We have our wineries, our breweries, our distillers, and we like to try to lump them all together, and the industry kind of does too. But wineries don't really fit the mold like the other two do. wineries go from raising them out of the ground all the way through the processing, the storage, the distribution, or not really distribution because they end up a lot of times getting sold right on the place as bottles of wine, and they don't fit the breweries and the distillers that well. Because there we raise a whole bunch of grain, load it on semis or maybe rail cars and ship it even out of state to Colorado or wherever, and then it gets made into the final product. So we felt that wineries would benefit tremendously. And the other thing is it's kind of a family operation. It's a way to bring more generations into the family farm, because as little as 12 acres, sometimes even a little bit less in the right place, the right climate, even here in Montana with our cold climate, can produce some very fine wine. And people just as well be drinking Montana wine. And when they say wine, think of Montana instead of California, back east, all these places. So I think there's a real need for this. I'm going to defer the rest of my time to my partner on the other side of the aisle.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Senator Curdy.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I appreciate the comments of the other co-signer of this bill. Members, Madam Chair and members, we've spent the last, I know, at least three sessions trying to figure out this winery operation, winery business. Really? We have. We're not even close, and we have people out there who are really wanting to get involved in this, move forward on this. I think there is great opportunity for Montana agriculture here, and I would encourage us to finally give these wineries, grape growers, some assurance and clarity between the role of the Department of Agriculture and the Department of Revenue, so they know where we're going. I know where I farm with my sister in the Bitterroot. We see a lot of small farms in the area. And these are conducive to very productive farms. And the MSU Ag Extension Research Center in Corvallis is already undergoing significant research on cold weather grapes. Madam Chair and members of the committee, I appreciate you give this a due pass. We need to help our wine growers. Thank you.
Further discussion, Senator Small.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I'm pleased to stand up in support of this here today. As many of you know, I'm the chairman of Senate Alcohol and Marijuana Committee. So I can see the direct benefit of this bill. The two senators brought up great points. This is going to be able to add some clarity to a situation. The bill itself, the opportunity that could come from this is terrific, right? We create tourism regions. It's all cost or value-added agriculture, and it's another way to eventually create more industry and business and hopefully keep some of our farm kids home too. And There's nothing bad at all about this study. I think it's probably past due, and it'd be great if everybody would rank it high later even. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no further discussion, Senator Gillespie, would you care to close?
Just one final comment, Madam Chair, if I may. As soon as we get done with our session here today, just imagine yourself sitting down by the table with a fine glass of Montana wine.
Thank you. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Gillespie that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration SJ30, it recommends the same be passed. All those in favor vote, signify by voting aye. Those opposed vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 41 senators vote aye and 9 senators vote nay.
41 senators having voted aye and 9 having voted no, SJ30 has passed second reading. Members of the body, You now have before you for your consideration House Bill 352. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 352, introduced by Barker and others, a bill for an act entitled an act establishing early literacy target intervention, providing legislative findings, purpose, and intent, providing definitions, establishing parameters and funding for three voluntary early literacy targeted intervention programs, establishing duties of the Board of Public Education and the Superintendent of Public Instruction in administering the programs, establishing reporting requirements for participating school districts and the Superintendent of Public Instruction, providing an appropriation amending sections and providing effective dates.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Madam Chair.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 11.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 352. What is your pleasure, Senator O'Brien?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration House Bill 352, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator O'Brien.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the body. Early literacy is vital to our kids to benefit from instruction during their middle and high school years and subsequently perform and enjoy higher paying jobs in the workforce. It's also necessary for critical thinking in our constitutional republic. It can generally be said, as many of you know, instruction. Kids are learning to read up until third grade, and then we shift to reading to learn. So it's very important at this third grade level that they know how to read. Only 46% of Montanans in third through eighth grade are reading at proficiency. And that increases the expenses and decreases the effectiveness of our K-12 education system because it requires additional interventions in middle and high school. So this bill does four things to remedy this situation. It changes current law that allows any four-year-old to enroll in kindergarten-based on undefined exceptional circumstances by directing the Board of Public Education to establish an evaluation method, optional. Parents can opt into this, to determine kids at risk of failing to meet reading proficiency by third grade. Secondly, school districts that choose to do this can adopt targeted interventions. And they are authorized to use these three tools. One, a home-based literacy program. Two, an early literacy jumpstart program. Or a classroom-based early literacy program. The jumpstart program is 4 weeks in the summer prior to kindergarten. And it would also be available in other summers. The third component allows parents who choose to evaluate their four-year-olds and if determined to be at risk to participate in one or more of those interventions. And then lastly, it requires district trustees to closely monitor the program and the Office of Public Instruction and collect the data from school districts providing these early intervention programs and report to the Interim Budget Committee and gives a date. Not only is this a great approach to provide better outcomes for our kids, there's a strong business case to support this legislation to dramatically increase accountability and the return on investment for our taxpayers. Representative Barker is a first-term legislator and has done an exceptional job, in my very humble opinion, of pulling this legislation together, and I encourage you to concur. Thank you.
Are there any amendments?
None, Madam Chair.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Senator Fuller.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you very much. Members of the Senate, let's talk what this really is. This is just a backdoor entrance to pre-K. Okay, the idea that Significant quantities of students at the third and fourth grade level are deficient in their reading skills. So what's the answer according to the proponents of this bill? Well, we need to spend more money, a sizable amount of money, and start with the kids into a monopolistic school at an earlier age. I don't think it'll work. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to predict that the proponents of this bill are going to be opponents to an effort to try to help special needs children and provide choice opportunities for parents with their schools, with their children for at a later age when they really need it. But in this bill, I urge you to vote no. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Further discussion, Senator Gillespie.
Madam Chair, just a couple of quick comments. I'm no authority on education, not my ball game, but we do have a son that is a special ed teacher in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis-St. Paul, and he is working with high school kids, sophomores, juniors, even seniors, that read at about a third grade education level. So it just seems to make perfect sense to get on this much more quickly than wait and waste a lot of time and try to attack it, because that's a real challenge at that level.
Further discussion, Senator Solomon.
Madam Chair, this is an excellent program. It kind of takes, replaces a program that we have that's called Exceptional Circumstances, where school districts have figured out they can get their younger kids to qualify for the exceptional circumstance. They get to count, they get the money, and that's what they're after. This program puts in place the opportunity for those kids in a different way, a lot cheaper way, and three different opportunities for them to learn, but it's all about having a structured plan where they will learn about reading and they will be tested, and then they can find out what is the next step for all of those students, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Seeing no further discussion, Senator O'Brien, would you care to close?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the body. Just two things I'd like to share in response to the senator in the front row. This is very much a targeted program that would, so this is not pre-K. This is a targeted program to help students who are four-year-olds, five, six, seven, up to third grade, for those students who are at risk for being proficiency at the third grade level. So it's not an open pre-K door. The other thing I would just like to point out is that Montana used to be at the top of the country, our schools, our students' scores, their test scores. And we have consistently, we now are at the middle or the just below the middle. And I find it interesting that we are only one of six states that does not provide some type of this early intervention type of program for our students. So this is we pay now or we pay way more later in special ed and in other intervention opportunities for our students. Go Green.
The question now arises on the motion of Senator O'Brien that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 352, it recommends the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 29 senators vote aye and 21 senators vote nay.
29 senators have voted aye and 21 having voted no. House Bill 352 has been concurred in on second reading. Members of the Senate, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 393, The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 393, introduced by Vinton and others, a bill for an act entitled an act generally revising laws related to establishing the Students with Special Needs Equal Opportunity Act and the Montana Special Needs Equal Opportunity Education Savings Account Program, establishing requirements for eligibility and allowable expenses, providing responsibilities for parents, school districts, and the superintendent of public instruction, clarifying the autonomy of participating private schools, providing for funding of special needs equal opportunity education savings accounts, establishing a special needs equal opportunity education savings trust, providing an appropriation and a statutory appropriation, providing rulemaking authority, providing definitions, amending section, and providing an effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Madam Chair.
The clerk will read the sections.
Section 1 through 16.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 393. What is your pleasure, Senator Emmerich?
Madam Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 393, that it recommends the same be concurred in.
Senator Emmerich.
Madam Chair, members of the body, I'm just going to go over an overview of the bill. It's an act establishing the Students with Special Needs Equal Opportunity Act for Montana Special Needs Equal Opportunity Program, an education savings account program. The purpose of this is described in Section 2, in particular on page line 1 through 23-27, just highlights the Constitution of Montana, which gives the authority to the legislature to provide educational programs, institution, in addition to the basic system of public schools and education that will fulfill the goal of the people to have an overall system of education that offers equal opportunity to all to reach their full educational potential. If you look at sections 3, you'll look at definitions of qualified schools, qualified students. Section 4 outlines educational resources that are allowable under the Act. Section 5 lists responsibilities of the parents under the program. And then Section 6 details responsibilities of OPI and qualified school districts. The goal of this is to provide flexibility for the education of special needs students. This is something that is near and dear to my heart because I have a daughter that is special needs, has been diagnosed with autism. I have a son who was born legally blind and has struggled with that disability his whole life, and other children that could benefit from more individual instruction that can be offered through this program. This is a fantastic program to provide funding for these special needs students and to actually give the parents the ability to customize their education and their educational experience to meet their needs. I found with my children inside of the public school system, well, try as they might, it was very difficult for the public schools to meet the needs of my children. And I found that there were times where I had to seek help for my children outside of the normal system of education. And I think that every parent should be have the ability to seek that for their children, so that way they can develop the full educational potential of their children. With that, I would also go over, you should have on your desk a legal review note, and it talks about just the Constitution, funding inside of the Constitution, and how it's supposed to be done. Now, the key takeaways here are that the funding has to have a stated purpose, a public purpose, because it is public funding, and this does fulfill that purpose because it is for the education of the children within the overall system of public education. And then it also has to maintain a certain level of control through the state just to make sure that funding is being appropriated for the appropriate purposes, and that oversight is done by the Office of Public Instruction
discussion with OPI. So I would encourage a green vote with this, and I'm happy to stand for any questions.
Are there any amendments?
None, Madam Chair.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none. Senator Emmerich, would you like to close on your bill? And he closes. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Emmerich that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration House Bill 393, it recommends the same be concurred in. All those in favor, vote aye, and those opposed, vote no. Does any member, Senator Usher, does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 26 senators vote aye and 24 senators vote nay.
26 senators having voted aye and 24 having voted no, House Bill 393 has been concurred in on second reading. Members of the body, please be in order. You have before you, for your consideration, House Bill 520. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 520, introduced by Logie, a bill for an act entitled an act requiring a study on the effects of private ponds on the state, permitting water rights and options to mitigate negative impacts, including invasive species and threats to wild fish and aquatic resources, assigning the study to the Water Policy Intern Committee, establishing reporting requirements, providing an appropriation, providing for contingent voidness, and providing an immediate effective date and a termination date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Madam Chair.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 5.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 520. What is your pleasure, Senator Cuff?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill number 520, that the same be concurred in. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Cuff.
Madam Chair, House Bill 520 is a this is a bill that's intended to provide some studies. It started out as a much bigger, wider kind of a project, and it wound up focused completely on fish ponds. And I think it's pretty. The title is pretty explanatory. We've heard it. It was a product of Water Policy Interim Committee. And it provides a look at those to see what's in them, in particular regarding the various species. And I expect they'll be looking at temperatures and other things as well. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Are there any amendments?
None, Madam Chair.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none. Senator Cuff, would you care to close? He closes. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Cuff that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration House Bill 520, it recommends the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 31 senators vote aye and 19 senators vote nay.
31 senators having voted aye and 19 having voted no, House Bill 520 has been concurred in on second reading. Members of the body, you now have before you for your consideration House Bill 562. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 562, introduced by Vinton and others, a bill for an act entitled an act authorizing the establishment of community choice schools as a means of providing additional educational opportunities, providing legislative findings and intent, providing definitions, establishing a community choice school commission, establishing choice school authorizers for overseeing choice schools, providing an oversight fee for choice school authorizers, providing for the creation, renewal, revocation, and closure of choice schools, providing for performances measures for choice schools, exempting choice school teachers from state certification requirements, providing for funding of choice schools, establishing conditions for choice school access to school district facilities and land, establishing the community choice school account, and providing an effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Madam Chair.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 21.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 562. What is your pleasure, Senator Bogner?
Madam Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration House Bill 562, recommends the same be concurred in.
Senator Bogner.
Madam Chair, members of the body, while Montana's public schools have provided many students with the education necessary for future successes, the one-size-fits-all approach of traditional public schools does not work for every student. It is essential that we provide parents with more options and flexibility to choose the best educational path for their children, whether that's supporting public schools, private schools, and authorizing charter schools in Montana. To empower our families with true school choice, we need to expand the slate of education choices available. While expanding educational offerings in the state, we need to build a lasting, solid framework that ensures accountability for all of Montana's children. The intent of HB 562 is stated as to create options that empower parents, encourage students to develop their full educational potential, provide a variety of professional opportunities for teachers, and encourage educational entrepreneurship as being vital to the economic competitiveness of our state. HB 562 provides for independence and likewise provides for ample oversight. The bill proposes a commission of diverse members appointed by a variety of elected officials. The bill offers guidance on how an independent school board can assemble, ensure community support, apply for a charter, show accountability both financially and based on student success. The choice schools are subject to all federal laws, including those related to health, safety, civil rights, and special education, ensuring that the students are protected in the same way as they were in traditional school. The schools and the commission will be evaluated every year by the Board of Public Education and the Interim Education Committee to ensure that the charter terms are being met. Schools must reapply for their charter contract every 5 years. And at any point, a charter can be revoked for an egregious violation. And most importantly, if a school is not meeting its promised outcomes, the charter will not be renewed and the school will be closed, a feature that traditional schools are not designed to suffer. Based on best practices from years of data, this bill is uniquely Montana in that it addresses and conforms to our specific constitutional duties. It offers the opportunity to create schools anywhere in the state and any size, insists that virtual charters be headquartered in Montana, mandates that each school be a nonprofit organization, and heavily relies on philanthropy for both the operation of the commission and each of the schools. HB 562 is not only constitutional and uniquely Montanan, it's based on solid evidence to ensure that no party can unduly profit from the state. And I'm excited this is in front of us today because this is an option that I wish I had when I was in school. I was very good at school, but I did not like school. I had good friends and really great teachers, but I didn't feel like I was getting pushed enough. So I felt like I was wasting my time. I went off the military and I wanted to make it a career. But to do that, I wanted to be an officer. And to be an officer, you needed a college degree. So I got out to go to school, and when I got to Columbia, having conversations with fellow students and sitting in class, it was noticeable at who came from different types of schools. And my first semester was rough. It took me a while to catch up. But I did catch up, and when I did, I realized that other students in my high school class in Montana that were more intelligent than I was and may have lost motivation like I should be there as well. HB 562 will help Montana students reach their full educational potential by providing additional options. And we need to provide our Montana students, like I wish I had, for their full educational potential. So I ask for your support. Thank you.
Are there any amendments?
None, Madam Chair.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none. Senator Bogner, would you like to close? He closes. The question now rises on the motion of Senator Bogner that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 562. Excuse me? Senator Molnar, I'm sorry.
I had pushed the button. I don't know if you looked away at that exact moment or not. I thought there'd be more discussion on this. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Does the sponsor yield to a question?
Does the sponsor yield? The carrier yield?
I yield.
It says in here, take these off, I'm sorry, that particularly in the fiscal note, that this that if this would be page 3, section 15, second sentence, if non-public students were to enroll at choice schools, state funding and local taxpayer funding would increase. What is a non-public student?
Madam Chair, members, or Senator Molnar, would be the ones that are enrolled in this program.
Madam Chair, Mr.
Do you continue to yield?
Yes, I continue to yield.
It says on
page through the chair, please.
Yeah, Madam Chair, it says on page 1, Mr. Sponsor, section 4, next to the last sentence, that this would be a public school. So how can it be a non-public person in a public school?
So, Madam Chair, Senator Molnar, these are the same kids. Right now, they are getting full base aid, which includes the general fund money. If they switch to choice schools, they bring their A and B from the general fund only, and the remaining funds stay in the treasury. Is that what you're asking here?
Madam Chair, I don't think so. Senator, a non-public student is a term new to me. If they're in a public school, and this says that it would be a public school, I'm wondering who these are.
Madam Chair, Senator Molnar, I believe that would be the homeschooled and the private school students, but maybe the chairman of education committee can maybe, is that correct?
We refer.
Madam Chair, yes, that is correct. It's the ones that are not in public school now and are either being, as Senator Bogner said, homeschooled or in a private school.
Okay, Madam Chair. If I could, I'll address the bill.
Go ahead.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, in the many years that I've been in the legislature, pre and currently, I think I have 100% voting record for anything to do with parents' ability to send their kids to a private school or a charter school. There might be those that think that this breaks that chain. I don't think so. Take a look at what I just said. This would be a public school. Read the bill, and repeat it in many places. It says that the, for example, page 3, Madam Chair, there is a autonomous state community choice school commission with state right authorizing jurisdiction and authority. The commission is attached to the Board of Public Education. This is a public school within a public school system. Look at the tax implications further on in the fiscal note. People will fund, through their property taxes, the existing school. And if this gets built, they'll fund this one, and they're both under OPI. So the statement that was made that this gives independence and oversight, the oversight is what people seek the independence from. It's oversight from OPI and the Board of Education. To wit, I recently had a bill, didn't do real well in committee, that tried to allow private schools to have their kids play basketball and other sports against public schools. The Montana High School Sports Association said that because these would be mainly Christian schools, they might not accept gender equality. Well, if they can mandate those things in these schools, why are we doing this? To my humble way of thinking, the reason charter schools are set up, the reason private schools exist, is parents want freedom from this oversight that robs them of independence. If this bill were to die, and if another bill said the A and B on each student stays with the student, regardless of which school they go to, I'm happy. Everybody's happy. But to say we're going to have property taxes for this school and one block down the road for another school, and if that school doesn't comply with OPI, in 5 years we'll shut it down and you can still pay for the school, is the strangest concept I've ever heard. All this does is give OPI total tentacles and the Board of Education total tentacles into what is supposedly an independent school. Why would we go down that road? You want an independent school? Have an independent school. You want a public school? We got plenty of them. Build another one. We don't need two public schools under total control, two funding systems. If you take a look at it, OPI money covers about 40% of students currently, 80% of these students. You want to talk about a voter backlash? When their tax bills because of that school double, you're going to hear about it. And you won't be able to explain why it exists in duplication.
Further discussion. We have one more blue light. Senator Small.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I generally don't follow these school bills that well because obviously there's a lot of folks in here know more about them than I do. And in the past, I have definitely supported some of the charter school stuff. It's a wonderful opportunity in some areas. But this bill, when you go to the technical note, and I'm just going to make this as a statement. It's not a question to anybody. But when you go to the technical note, page 4, you get down at the bottom, little sub 3 there, section 3. There's three things in there that kind of startle me. The first one is choice schools are to receive state and local funds with no required accountability for the use of those funds, other than a report to be provided to the State Community Choice School Commission. The next thing that startles me in there, the federal government requires financial reporting of all educational activities, and non-reporting from choice school would not be available for federal reporting requirement. So the last point in that little section right there, this would affect funding formulas that provide impact aid, Title I, and other federal grants to Montana. Just in the back of my mind, I feel like there needs to be a little more work done on this to not affect the rest of the schools that we obviously need for our kids. Thank you.
Thank you. Further discussion, Senator Fuller.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Between my grandmother and myself, we have 100 years of teaching in public schools. Think about that for a second. And I come to you today and I tell you that what happens and our public school system is not meeting the needs of each and every Montana child. They need choices. Parents need choices. Students need choices. This is a great opportunity for us to provide that, as will a subsequent bill that will be coming up. But this is a great opportunity for us to give to parents the choices that those individual students need. And I am telling you that the educational bureaucracy, or as I prefer to call them sometimes, the mercenaries, love to protect their institutions. But it is time to step up to, you know, all of you that know me personally know that I've been a competitive individual all my life. Public school can handle the competition if this is competitive. And it is cost effective. Please vote yes and give students in Montana an opportunity and their parents an opportunity to have some real choices. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Seeing no further discussion, Senator Bogner, would you like to close on your bill?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I'll just try and address a couple things. And I misunderstood the first question, so I appreciate the Chairman of Senate Education answering that. So choice schools face a much greater degree of scrutiny when it comes to establishing and maintaining them. From their business plan, to budgeting, to demonstrating need for the school itself, to academic performance and growth, and a charter contract must be renewed for successive 5 years as they face reevaluation. 45 other states have charter bills, and federal funding has not been jeopardized. This makes no sense here, as this has never happened before in the nation. In fact, the bill will bring more federal funding to Montana as the U.S. Department of Education awards grants to states and charter schools under the charter schools program. That's currently funded at $440 million a year. And the commission, with the general supervision of the Board of Public Education, is there to address our Constitution and make sure that it is solid. So I would appreciate your support on this. HB 562 establishes the framework to empower our parents and children to give them more choice to find the best education that addresses their individual needs. Thank you.
The question now rises on the motion of Senator Bogner that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration House Bill 562, it recommend the same do be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 23 senators vote aye and 27 senators vote nay.
23 senators having voted aye and 27 having voted no. House Bill 562 fails on second reading. Members of the body, you now have before you House Bill. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam Chair, I move to indefinitely postpone House Bill 562.
Without objection?
We need to go to the board.
Those in favor, vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. The clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 26 senators vote aye and 24 senators vote nay.
26 senators have voted aye, 24 have voted no. The bill is indefinitely postponed. Members of the body, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 549. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 549, introduced by Anderson and others, a bill for an act entitled an act authorizing the establishment of public charter schools and districts as a means of providing additional educational opportunities, providing legislative findings and intent, defining public charter school and providing other definitions, prescribing duties for the Board of Public Education and required elements of charter applications and charter contracts, establishing reporting requirements, providing enrollment and governance requirements for public charter schools, providing for the creation, renewal, revocation, and closure of public charter schools, providing for performance measures for public charter schools, providing for funding of public charter schools, establishing the public charter school account, and providing an effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Madam Chair.
The clerk will read the section.
Sections 1 through 17.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 549. What is your pleasure, Senator Solomon?
Madam Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 549, that I recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Solomon.
Madam Chair, folks, this isn't Groundhog Day. This is a different charter school bill. And this one we call the public charter school bill. And I'll just go over parts of this and why it's a little bit different. This bill states that the intent of the legislature is to create innovative and high-performing public charter schools under the general supervision of the Board of Public Education and under the supervision and control of trustees of the governing board who are elected by qualified electors in the community where the charter school is located. And that's one of the big differences in a local board. Section 4 of the bill identifies the responsibilities of the State Board of Public Education to include, solicit, evaluate, approve, or deny new charter schools based on a series of criteria for improvement of instructional opportunities for students. Section 5 also describes that if the applicant is not a local school board, the applicant proposal must include that the applicant ask the local school board to create a school or program within the local school district that it would serve the mission and vision of the proposed public charter school, and the local school board, if they decline, that's when they can go forward. It is an option given to the local school first. If they're not supplying a certain probably an area or something that those students are lacking in, and it is brought to their attention, they do not do anything about it, folks can get together and go forward with a public charter school option. The bill further describes the governing board, elections, and terms that include the board's composition, numbers, etc. The bill describes the charter school's performance and renewal to include a listing of performance indicators, standards, and performance targets. In other words, they have to perform or they will not be reauthorized. The bill defines the public charter school operations and autonomy, starting that the entity must be nonprofit and that the public charter school must be subject to the provisions of the MCA Title 20 to include local rules, regulations, and policies. Public charter schools may not be formed in Class 3 districts. In other words, Class 1 and 2 districts, school districts in Montana, are basically roughly the highest 50 or the most populous 50 schools in this state. So we have 400 school districts. It only applies to about the biggest 50. Section 12 states the legislative intent of funding public charter schools is for the public charter school to receive operational funding on a per pupil basis, as is equitable with the per pupil funding of the local school district. So it's basically the same as a regular public school. Those are kind of the highlights, Madam Chair.
Are there any amendments?
None, Madam Chair.
Is there discussion? Senator Temple.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee. We heard this bill. This is a way better bill than the last one, but it still isn't really needed. Right now, state law allows school districts to create a charter school. And so in committee, we listened to people that had special needs kids. And the next one or two was gifted and talented people need these. I have, out of my four kids and their spouses, I have four teachers. Two of them are involved in special ed. And my daughter called the other day and said, how can they possibly take care of the special needs kids along with the gifted and talented? So this is a shot in the dark, a pie in the sky. Vote no on this.
Senator Molnar.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I again would direct the body to take a look at page 1. Under assumptions 1, second line, high performing, which is advertising talk, public charter schools under the general supervision of the Board of Public Education is the exact same thing. It's a wheel within a wheel governed by the same oversight that the people want these charter schools for, to not have that oversight, to make their own decisions as to what the children will learn. You cannot, under any criterion, explain why you would have two schools under the same supervision when one is supposed to be independent. And the local school board gets to decide if they even exist, which means they can decide if they cease to exist. It's not independent. All of my grandkids go to public school in Laurel. Excellent education, no problem. My niece goes to a private school. Excellent education, no problem. I don't even know if we have any charter schools in Montana. Perhaps the sponsor could answer this for me. Madam Chair, could the sponsor yield to a question, please?
Senator Solomon, do you yield?
Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Solomon, do we currently have charter schools in Montana?
Madam Chair, we are at one, I believe. I think we've had two, but I think we're down to one.
Further question?
Yes.
Is it under control of the Board of Education or OPI at any level.
Madam Chair, Senator, of course it is. They have federal regulations. If federal money's coming, it has to have some control. Same thing with this bill. If the school that we want to have as a charter school can be for whatever purpose that they decide, and if the local school board decides not to do that, then they have the opportunity to make the charter school, apply for it, do all the things. They will govern it with the same elected board. But the thing is, it can be for fine arts, it can be for science, it can be for music, it can be for whatever purpose. It can be for math, and it could be for CTE. We've got lots of opportunities that people want to take advantage of, but they have to have supervision, and they have to follow some rules, they have to be evaluated, and they have to be tested to make sure good things are happening.
Thank you. I cannot see where...
Through the chair, please.
Yes, Madam Chair, going back through the bill. Again, go to your fiscal statement. This is another school under the same supervision, being financed independently, or actually not independently, also by the exact same taxpayers. That portion of the taxes will, of necessity, double if indeed, in those communities, if indeed, we have three. If we stay at one, it'll be the same. If we go to another one, those taxpayers will wonder why the property taxes went up. And if they dig into it and find out it's under the exact same supervision, not limited perhaps as the chairman of education, who I'm sure knows way more about this than me, perhaps not that limited. This seems to me to be unlimited. The local school board determines if they even exist. I think the people should determine if they exist. The A and B should follow the child, and this bill misses that by a mile.
Senator Fuller.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In the words of the sponsor, or the carrier, I should say, excuse me, in the words of the sponsor, this program outlines so-called charter schools, which are the same as a regular public school. In other words, we're putting pig on a lipstick, lipstick on a pig. Pig on a lipstick? Take your pick. The purpose, what we need to do, parents and children need choices. If we're merely making another subsidiary of the current system, we're not offering choices to the school. I urge a red vote. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Additional discussion, Senator Hertz.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Talk about choices. It looks like this bill was created so we'd all have a choice to vote for a charter school. Could have voted for the last bill or this one. You know, I got to agree with the senator behind me. This isn't needed. Schools can already do many things that are here. So I just encourage vote no on this, and let's move on.
Seeing no further discussion, Senator Solomon, would you care to close?
Yes, Madam Chair. I guess I have a little different viewpoint than the last few speakers. This is a perfect example of how students will have a choice. They want to study something. They want to go somewhere where they can utilize and build their skills. This is an opportunity if they can't get it through their local public school. The students and their parents have the opportunity to start a charter school that will help all these students. And again, it's in the bigger districts. You're not going to come in and close down a Class C school because they're going to move the 100 kids to a charter school. These are set up for specific reasons and to help those kids. And the money, we keep talking about the money. It's all about the same money, the same A and B, the same basic entitlements as a regular public school. Now, the only time these would go up is if they brought in students that were either homeschooled or in private schools. They would now count on our A and B numbers. There's a good possibility there will be some, and that will raise the amount of state funding. But now these kids get the opportunity to use their parents' tax dollars to help them educate. Madam Chairman.
The question now rises on the motion of Senator Solomon that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration House Bill 549, it recommends the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed vote no. Senator Esp, okay. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 8 senators vote aye and 42 senators vote nay.
8 senators having voted aye and 42 senators having voted no. House Bill 549 has failed concurrence on second reading. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam Chair, I move to indefinitely postpone House Bill 549.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor vote aye. All those opposed vote no. Does anyone need to change their vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 47 senators vote aye and 3 senators vote nay.
47 having voted aye, 3 voting no. House Bill 549 is indefinitely postponed. Members of the Senate, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 833. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 833, introduced by Barker and others, a bill for an act entitled an act generally revising laws related to teacher recruitment and retention, providing legislative findings and intent, establishing the teacher residency program administered by the Office of Public Instruction, providing program parameters, providing definitions, providing an appropriation, and providing an effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Madam Chair.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 5.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 833. What is your pleasure, Senator McClafferty?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 833, that it recommend the same do pass. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator McClafferty.
Thank you. This is a good bill that could help with the recruitment and retention problems that we have here in Montana. This bill gives students who are in their student teaching phase of their career the opportunity to complete their residency program while they're being paid. If you look at the fiscal note on page 2, it tells you that they could get resident compensation of $1,400 a month, resident tuition and housing supplement, and the teacher that they're working under will also be paid $6,000 a year. Currently, we have 9 students who have gone through this program, and all 9 students are working in rural areas right now. I want to point out something else to you, is that if a resident, if one of these students or a student teaching decides not to teach here in Montana, then this money that they have received will become a loan instead of a grant. This is a great program that could help with us with our recruitment and retention problems, and I ask you to vote yes, please. Thank you.
Are there any amendments?
None, Madam Chair.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none. Senator McClafferty, would you like to close on your motion? She closes. The question now rises on the motion of Senator McClafferty that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 833, it recommends the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 41 senators vote aye and 9 senators vote nay.
41 senators having voted aye and 9 having voted no. House Bill 833 has been concurred in on second reading. Members of the body, you now have before you House Bill 835 for your consideration. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 835, introduced by Keenan and Jones, a bill for an act entitled an act creating the Medicaid and 24/7 facility contingency fund, establishing uses of the fund, providing for a transfer of funds, providing appropriations, and providing an immediate effective date and a termination date.
Are there any corrections to the history in the title of the bill as read?
None, Madam Chair.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 5.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 835. What is your pleasure, Senator Glimm?
Madam Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 835, it recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Glenn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is what we in Finance and Claims and Appropriations have affectionately deemed the House Bill 3A, although its bill number is 835. It is similar to House Bill 3, which is the supplemental bill that we have every biennium. This is the supplement. What it has been reduced to is the supplemental for basically the state hospital and the Lewistown nursing home. So that amount of money is the $56 million in general fund that you see here, which will be in effect for this current fiscal year and will take us to the point of July 1. Also in the bill, we did have to amend in some extra federal money similar to be used for the same stuff, Medicaid match, and then a little bit of state special revenue in the to the tune of $4 million that was hospital reimbursement for bed tax. So I'd encourage green light. Thank you.
Are there any amendments?
None, Madam Chair.
Is there discussion on the bill? Seeing none, Senator Glimm, would you like to close? He has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Glimm that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration House Bill 835, it recommends the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 33 senators vote aye and 17 senators vote nay.
33 senators having voted aye and 17 having voted no. House Bill 835 has been concurred in on second reading. Members of the body, you now have before you for your consideration House Bill 952. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 952, introduced by Sprunger and Brewster, a bill for an act entitled an act establishing a Montana Autism Facilities Grant Program, creating Autism Facilities Special Revenue Fund, providing rulemaking authority, providing definition, transferring funds, providing an appropriation, and providing an effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Madam Chair.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 7.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 952. What is your pleasure, Senator Cuff?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had it under consideration House Bill 952, that it recommend the same be concurred in. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Cuff.
You know, sometimes it's strange how life happens. And there are folks probably who are excited about having a new baby, raising their family, and all of a sudden, more difficult circumstances happen than what we're dreamed about. And sometimes we're going about life, sometimes we're having a pretty good life. And I was at the county fair one weekend, and I got a call from a friend who were grandparents of a young child, distant relative of mine, who had severe autism. The child had grown into a pretty rugged big kid, very big, very strong, very physically active and impossible to handle, with hormones and spurts of anger. And they didn't know what to do. And the mother finally drove up to the emergency room in the hospital and stopped because there was no place for help. She finally walked in the hospital and said, I've got to leave him here. She was bruised up. She just had reached the limit. That got dropped into my lap. It was at the county fair. The grandparents came and talked to me. I was a state representative. They said, you got to help me. You got to do something. And I began calling, and I found out there is no place in Montana. There's not only no place in Montana. If there are other facilities, they're full. I worked and worked. I spent a full week making call after call and to people I knew in the legislature that knew a little bit about that area. At any rate, Eventually, the kid got bumped into show deer, almost by accident. But he wound up there, and then they had to empty the wing out because he was a real danger to other patients. We worked and worked. I talked to people in D.C., and autism speaks all over. Eventually, he got sent to a facility, I believe, in Mississippi. A facility that it was questioned whether officially there were questions, whether really that was a proper place, whether it was really certified. But by golly, guess what? It was. They knew how to deal with that kid. They kept him for a certain period of time. I don't remember, probably a year if I remember right. He came back home and he was able to operate. And the way life goes around, I was sitting in finance and claims the other day, and along comes this bill. And I honestly, I felt for it. I had some deep feelings. But I thought, when you're on Senate finance claims or come out of appropriations, you kill a lot of bills that you feel you'd fund them. If you had the money yourself, you would fund them. But it's state money, and a lot of times you just can't do everything. And I said, okay, I will vote no if I have to. And my no vote killed the funding for this bill. Now later, as the Lord would have it, circumstances dropped into my lap that all of a sudden I helped find the way to fund it. And I feel good about it. I felt good about it that night. I feel good about it today. What this bill does, if you haven't looked at it yet, it creates an autism facilities grant program. Creates a purpose, the eligibility, the rulemaking. And it's pretty common sense stuff if you were to sit down and draw up an outline. Provides the purpose to provide grants for the construction of autism facilities designed and equipped to provide services to individuals with autism spectrum disorders. And I think in many cases this will be for the folks who are pretty far out there on the spectrum. To be eligible for a grant from the program, a nonprofit or government entity shall match dollar for dollar raised from public or private resources in order to get the grant. You raise a dollar before you get a dollar. Provide the department with plans for the construction and development of autism facilities in the state. The department shall adopt rules for administration of the grant program. This is a new thing. A new thing to address a problem that we have all seen. Now, occasionally, some of us have personal experience, but mostly it's the kid down the street or some other family, and you have no idea of the desperation that goes through those families. An autism facility, a place that provides services to children or adults or both with autism spectrum disorder, including not limited to housing therapy and other support services. Now the next page discusses the facility's special revenue account in the amount of $400,000 to provide grants for autism facilities. That's it. Now we've done a lot this year, and I've been involved with a lot, and I've been feeling pretty good. Most of what we're doing is pretty good stuff. But I'll tell you what, today, as we approach the end of it, I feel better about this than anything else I've done. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Are there any amendments?
None, Madam Chair.
Is there discussion on the motion, Senator Curdy?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to take this opportunity to thank the good senator from Eureka. These parents are my constituents. He really stepped up at that time to help this kid. I was a freshman legislator. I was overwhelmed. And the good senator led the charge. But the point is here is that we don't have to ship these kids to Mississippi to get the treatment that we can provide here. I think this is a really, really fine step forward. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Seeing no further discussion, Senator Cuff, would you like to close on your bill? He closes. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Cuff that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration House Bill 952, it recommends the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 30 senators vote aye and 20 senators vote nay.
30 senators having voted aye and 20 having voted no, House Bill 952 has been concurred in on second reading. Members of the body, you have before you for your consideration Senate Joint Resolution 34. For your consideration, the clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
Senate Joint Resolution 34, introduced by Friedo, a joint resolution of the Senate and the House of Representatives of the State of Montana requesting an interim study of the specialized courts in Montana and requiring that the final results of the study be reported to the 69th legislature.
And are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Madam Chair.
The clerk will read the sections.
Section 1.
Members of the committee, you now have before you SJ 34. What is your pleasure, Senator Friedel?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Joint Resolution 34, that it recommends same do pass.
Senator Friedel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was bringing this bill today because I'd like to have an in-depth, in-the-weeds discussion in regards to these special courts that we have popping up all over the state. There was a great study that happened to deal with the overall look at this, but I do want to dig in deeper to see if we are truly getting the return on our investment. I want to see what it costs because the study bill that happened did not include things like Office of Public Defenders, prosecution, any vendors that are dealing with this. So I truly want to find out for sure, getting into the weeds in this study to find out if we are truly getting our return on investment and what it costs to do these types of special courts. And so I'd ask for a due pass on this, Ms. Madam Chair.
Thank you. Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator Friedel closes. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Friedel that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Joint Resolution 34, it recommends the same be adopted. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 23 senators vote aye and 27 senators vote nay.
With 23 senators having voted aye and 27 having voted no, SJ 34 has failed to be adopted. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam Chair, I move to indefinitely postpone Senate Joint Resolution 34.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Does anyone need to change his or her vote? Senator Kelker. Senator Kelker. The clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 38 senators vote aye and 12 senators vote nay.
38 senators having voted yes, 12 voting no. SJ 34 is indefinitely postponed. Members of the Senate, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Joint Resolution 29. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
Senate Joint Resolution 29, introduced by Noland, a joint resolution of the Senate and the House of Representatives of the State of Montana requesting an interim study on economic redevelopment, workforce housing, and requiring that the final results of the study be reported to the 69th legislature.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Madam Chair.
The clerk will read the sections.
Section 1.
Members of the committee, you now have before you SJ 29. What is your pleasure, Senator Noland?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Joint Resolution number 29, recommend the same do pass.
Senator Noland.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the body, we've been hearing about problems in the state of lack of housing in all forms. You've heard it in your hometowns. You've heard it here. There was a governor's task force who did a whole bunch of hard work on it. We looked at what they did. I haven't analyzed it, but I have looked at it, and I read through it. There still needs to be work done. We're trying to find out an answer, and it might be the answer is we do nothing, but we still should probably take the time and the energy so that we can help resolve this problem. That's why I brought forth this study bill. Please vote green.
Are there any amendments?
None, Madam Chair.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator Nolan waves off. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Nolan that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration Senate Joint Resolution 29, it recommends the same be adopted. All those, as many as are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Mr. President? The clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 31 senators vote aye and 19 senators vote nay.
31 senators having voted aye and 19 having voted no. Senate Joint Resolution 29 has been adopted. Members of the Senate, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 855. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 855, introduced by Smith and others, a bill for an act entitled an act allowing a plaque or other item of tribute commemorating Charles S. Johnson, Montana's longest-serving State House reporter, to be placed in a State Capitol Complex building or on the grounds of the State Capitol Complex, requiring private funding, establishing a special revenue account, providing the Montana Historical Society procure the item and administer funds for that purpose, providing an appropriation amending sections, and providing for contingent voidness, and providing an effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Madam Chair.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 855. What is your pleasure, Senator Cuff?
Madam Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill number 855, that I recommend the same be concurred in, Madam Chair.
Senator Cuff.
Madam Chair, House Bill 855, we actually heard on the floor before, and we had heard it in State Administration Committee. We put an amendment on it in State Administration Committee that had not showed up when it came on the floor. So the majority leader had requested we come back and retake it with the proper bill that had been approved in State Administration Committee, Madam Chair.
Are there any amendments?
Madam Chair, I move to amend House Bill 855 with Amendment HB 0855.001.002, signed Senator Fitzpatrick.
What is your pleasure, Mr. Majority Leader?
Madam Chair, I move that House Bill 855 be amended and request that Amendment 855.001.002 be posted and deemed read.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is the amendment that we placed on in State Administration. However, it did not get engrossed onto the bill. So as you may recall, we unwound the bill, brought it back to second. Here's the amendment. It simply says that if this amendment goes on, that we will just be placing a plaque instead of some other item of tribute. So that's the amendment to ask for greenlight.
Is there any discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, Senator Fitzpatrick closes on the amendment. The question now arises on the motion of the Senator that House Bill 855 be amended. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. The clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 48 senators vote aye and 2 senators vote nay.
48 senators having voted aye and 2 having voted no, the amendment passes. Are there any further amendments?
None, Madam Chair.
Is there discussion on the motion of House Bill 855 as amended? Seeing none. Senator Cuff, would you like to close on your bill?
Yes, Madam Chair. I think we should have a tribute to a man who spent 50 years covering the business of of not just the legislature but state government all year long. And but the state administration committee felt that a plaque was sufficient. I didn't want to see a statue out there alongside of Mike Mansfield's, but we thought it was certainly sufficient to have a plaque on the wall. Thank you, Madam Chair.
The question now arises on the motion of Senator Cuff that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 855, it recommends the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Senator Esp. The clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 35 senators vote aye and 15 senators vote nay.
35 senators having voted aye and 15 having voted no. House Bill 855 as amended has been concurred in on second reading. Members of the body, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 424. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 424, introduced by Jones and others, a bill for an act entitled an act generally revising sustainability of state financing, revising transfer percentages into the Budget Stabilization Reserve Fund and the Capital Development's Long Range Building Program account, increasing the cap on the Budget Stabilization Reserve Fund, increasing the cap on the Fire Suppression Fund, allowing the Capital Development's Long Range Building Program account to pay on bonds and related costs, temporarily increasing the Governor's Emergency Fund, requiring that funds in the Capital Development's Long Range Building Program account be used to forego or reduce the amount of issuance of general obligation bonds, providing for general fund transfer and general fund reversions into the Budget Stabilization Reserve Fund, providing for other transfers from the general fund, providing for a study of state budget process for personal services expenditures, establishing reporting requirements on the use of appropriations for the operation of state health care facilities, providing local disaster resiliency funds, establishing eligible uses for the funds, providing for a statutory appropriation, providing for a supplemental appropriation, providing appropriations, providing for a contingent appropriation, expanding uses of a statutory appropriation, amending sections, and providing an immediate effective date and a termination date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Madam Chair.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 23.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 424. What is your pleasure, Senator Esp?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 424, it the same be concurred in, Madam Chair.
Senator Esp.
You know, I could just say, yeah, what he said. but I won't. I handed out a chart on the desk, and it basically explains the bill in a way I hope most of us can understand. It's, if you look at the green box at the top, that's our savings account. That's the Budget Stabilization Reserve Fund. We're going to fill that. Then if anything, once it gets capped, which is capped at 16% of our revenue, then it overflows down into the Capital Development Fund. The Capital Development Fund was the fund that we used this biennium or this session to fund all those projects that you'll see in House Bill 5 that comes to you tomorrow. We had so much extra revenue this session that it flowed into that fund. And depending on what revenue does in the next biennium, there will be money flowing into that fund again. And as written, once that Capital Development Fund reaches its cap, then the money flows back to the ending fund balance in general fund and part of it back in the CD fund to grow it. So if you look on the right-hand page of the chart, right-hand side of the chart, right after House Bill 424 is amended, it says the governor can access this money, but not all of it. The way he accesses it, he cuts money out of agencies. If he does that, he can use $3 out of every dollar he cuts to bring the budget back under balance. In the bill, there'll be a section, and I'll point it out. Maybe I'll point it out now. There's a section of law that says if revenue dips drastically from projections, then the governor has to go in and cut the budget. In doing so, he can access this fund to chew it up. And that's been in law for several sessions now. The other thing that happens in this bill, if you look on the lower right-hand corner, it transfers money into the Budget Stabilization Reserve Fund. It also puts $30 million from the general fund to the state self-insurance reserve and to the $18 million to the general fund for the Office of Commissioner of Higher Education's self-insurance pool. That was an agreement negotiated between the unions and the administration before we got here. Part of it was in House Bill 13 we passed earlier. This is the part where we have to fund for next session, or for this session, and then have it in the base next session for what would have been the employee, let's see, you got to think about this, our share of the employee's share of contributions to this. So this just keeps the rate that we pay, some of us pay for our insurance here, it locked it, but this, the reserve fund to pay claims still has to be held up, and so that's what that does. Most of the rest of it's not as easily explained, so I'm not going to try. No, most of the rest of it I'll try to explain to you in questions. Senator McGilvray has an amendment, and after we get that on, I'll handle any questions you have. Thank you, Madam Chair.
And for the amendment.
Madam Chair, I move to amend House Bill 424 with Amendment HB 0424.003.001, signed Senator McGilvray.
What is your pleasure, Senator McGilvray?
Madam Chair, I move that House Bill 424 be amended with 0424.003.001, and that it be posted and deemed read.
Senator McGilvray.
Thank you, Madam Chair. What this amendment does is it just takes, if you look at your chart there again, instead of 75% going to general fund after the CD fund is filled, this amendment essentially creates a pension reserve fund. As you know, we have $3.8 billion unfunded liabilities. Is that right? Or is it 4.8? It's 4.8 billion, excuse me. It grows so fast. 4.8 billion grows fast. It's easy to lose track of. But so we have 4.8 billion unfunded liability. As soon as June comes along, where we look at the numbers again, it's clearly going to be over 5 billion. So this creates a fund to collect money to deal with our pensions. And if you just look at page 8 of the amendment, you can see it just switches from 25% CD to 75% general fund. And then on page 15, there's a new section 8 that creates that pension fund. So that's, Madam Chair, what the amendment does. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there a discussion on the amendment? Senator Glenn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think this is a great idea that we start putting some money away for some kind of solution to pensions. I think we're going to be seeing a bill come through that's going to look at doing a little bit of a study in the interim, and putting some money away while we have some, and creating this savings to try and help that problem that we face as a state, I think is a really good idea. So I encourage a green vote on this. Thank you.
Seeing no, yes, Senator Esp.
Thank you, Madam Chair. and members of the committee, this is a friendly amendment. I think this is what we've collectively decided is one of our priorities in this body. I think it should be in the bill.
Thank you. Seeing no further discussion on the amendment, Senator McGilvray waves off. The question now arises on the motion of Senator McGilvray that House Bill 424 be amended. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed vote no. And the clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 50 senators vote aye.
50 senators having voted aye, the amendment passes. Are there any further amendments?
None, Madam Chair.
Is there discussion on the motion of concurring in House Bill 424 as amended? Senator Hayman.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a question for the carrier.
Will the carrier...
Yes, I would yield.
Senator, can you tell me if there is the $5 million needed for nursing homes to stabilize them in this excess money bill?
Madam Chair, Senator Hayman, this bill does not appropriate any money for nursing homes.
Can you explain why that would be?
Madam Chair, Senator Hayman, that would take a specific policy bill to do that. This bill is about reserves, and in the title you'll notice it's about reserves. It's not spending on a specific policy.
That's unfortunate. Madam Chair, may I speak to the bill?
Senator Hayman.
Several of us in this room have either brought bills in regards to nursing homes or have supported those bills, and we know they're in trouble, and we know that we're going to need them soon, very soon. And I just cannot imagine that we are going to pass a bill with this amount of money, and we're going to ignore...
Senator Hayman, excuse me, but that is not in the title of the bill, in this bill.
I am making a point, Madam Chair, well, maybe point of personal preference.
Go ahead.
So I am embarrassed. I am embarrassed by this, and everyone should be embarrassed that we are passing this bill and we can't take care of elderly. I urge you to vote no.
Seeing no further discussion, Senator S., would you like to close on the bill?
Yes, I would, Madam Chair. And I won't stray off the bill, but we did do some things the other day that improved things for the cause that the previous opponent spoke of. This bill is prudent fiscal policy. It sets up something going forward where we can look at an issue that's vexed us for a long time as amended now. So I urge you to support the bill, support the other things that are in the bill to make it better for the people of Montana.
The question now arises on the motion of Senator Esp that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 424, it recommends this same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 41 senators vote aye and 9 senators vote nay.
41 senators having voted aye and 9 having voted no. House Bill 424 has been concurred in as adopted on second reading. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam Chair, I move the committee rise and report.
You've heard the motion of Mr. Majority Leader Fitzpatrick. All those in favor vote aye. Those opposed say no.
Aye.
The ayes have it.
Secretary will read the report.
Mr. President, we are committee of the whole, having had under consideration of business on second reading, respectfully report as follows. Senate joint resolution passed 29 and 30. House resolutions concurred in. House bills concurred in. House bills 312, 874, 890, 352, 353, 424, 520, 833, 835, 952. House bills concurred in as amended. House bills 45 and 855. Passed for the day. House bill 479. Indefinitely postponed Senate joint resolution 34 and House bills 549 and 562. House amendments to Senate bills concurred in. 47, 123, 382, 458, 540, and 557. Senate Bills Conference Committee's report adopted 6 and 19.
Senator Beard.
Mr. President, I move the adoption of the committee report.
You've heard the motion of Senator Beard that the committee of the whole report be adopted. As many of those in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 46 have voted yes, 4 have voted no.
46 haven't voted yes, 4 haven't voted no. Committee of the whole report has been adopted.
That is all, Mr. President.
That objection will go to order business number 8, third reading of bills. Oh, thank you, Senator Beard.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 374, introduced by Curdy, a bill connecting to revise local government public document retention.
Senate Bill 374, have been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 48 have voted yes, 2 have voted no.
48 haven't voted yes, 2 haven't voted no. Senate Bill 374 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 443, introduced by Friedel, a bill for enacting entitled Revised Post-Council Membership.
Senate Bill 443 have been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Senator Heyman? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 50 members have voted yes.
50 members haven't voted yes. Senate Bill 443 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 558, introduced by Morjo, a bill for enacting entitled require United States cash to be accepted as currency.
Senate Bill 558 haven't been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor of the motion signify by voting yes. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 50 members have voted yes.
50 members haven't voted yes. Senate Bill 558 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 564, introduced by McGilvery, a bill for enacting entitled revised laws related to immunity for free health care services.
Senate Bill 564 have been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 49 have voted yes. 1 has voted no.
49 haven't voted yes, 1 haven't voted no. Senate Bill 564 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Joint Resolution 20, introduced by Dunwell, a bill for enacting entitled Interim Study on Eligibility Criteria for Memorial Highways.
Senate Joint Resolution 20 haven't been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 31 have voted yes, 19 have voted no.
31 haven't voted yes, 19 haven't voted no. Senate Joint Resolution 20 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Joint Resolution 21, introduced by Mandeville, a bill for enacting entitled Interim Study to Review the Land Use Planning Act.
Senate Joint Resolution 21 haven't been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor of the motion signify by voting yes. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 49 have voted yes, 1 has voted no.
49 haven't voted yes, 1 haven't voted no. Senate Joint Resolution 21 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Joint Resolution 25, introduced by Dunwell, a bill for enacting entitled Interim Study of Ways to Increase Inclusion of Disabled Montanans in Government.
Senate Joint Resolution 25 haven't been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor of the motion signify by voting yes. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote. vote.
Mr. President, 32 have voted yes, 17 have voted no.
32 haven't voted yes, 17 haven't voted no. Senate Joint Resolution 25 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Joint Resolution 31, introduced by Usher, a bill for an act entitled Study of Attorney Regulation and the State Bar.
Senate Joint Resolution 31 have been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor of the motion signify by voting yes. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 27 have voted yes, 23 have voted no.
27 haven't voted yes, 23 haven't voted no. Senate Joint Resolution 31 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 4, introduced by Jones, a bill for non-entitled appropriations by budget amendment.
House Bill 4 haven't been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor of the motion signify by voting yes. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 45 have voted yes, 5 have voted no.
45 haven't voted yes, 5 haven't voted no. House Bill 4 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 332, introduced by Beatty, a bill for non-entitled general revised laws related to school employee health benefits.
House Bill 332 haven't been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor of the motion signify by voting yes. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 29 have voted yes, 21 have voted no.
29 haven't voted yes, 21 haven't voted no. House Bill 332 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 469, introduced by Brewster, a bill for an act entitled revised taxation of horizontally recompleted wells.
House Bill 469 haven't been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor signify by voting yes. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 34 have voted yes, 16 have voted no.
34 haven't voted yes, 16 haven't voted no. House Bill 469 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 517, introduced by Hopkins, a bill for an act entitled Constitutional Amendment Regarding Board of Regents.
House Bill 517 have been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor of the motion signify by voting yes. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 27 have voted yes, 23 have voted no.
27 haven't voted yes, 23 haven't voted no. House Bill 517 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 551, introduced by Knutson, a bill for an act entitled Implement Constitutional Carry into the Montana Constitution.
House Bill 551 have been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor of the motion signify by voting yes. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 33 have voted yes, 17 have voted no.
33 haven't voted yes, 17 haven't voted no. House Bill 551 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 588, introduced by Jones, a bill for 1910 revised TEACH Act incentives to increase starting teacher salary.
House Bill 588 have been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor of the motion signify by voting yes. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 46 have voted yes, 4 have voted no.
46 haven't voted yes, 4 haven't voted no. House Bill 588 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 846, introduced by France, a bill for an act entitled Resident Bonus Point System for Smith River.
House Bill 846 has been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor of the motion signify by voting yes. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 46 have voted yes, 4 have voted no.
46 haven't voted yes, 4 haven't voted no. House Bill 846 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 864, introduced by Moore, a bill for an act entitled Authorized Transfers and Other Necessary Measures to Implement House Bill 2, Section A.
House Bill 864 haven't been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor of the motion signify by voting yes. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 49 have voted yes, 1 has voted no.
49 haven't voted yes, 1 haven't voted no. House Bill 864 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 872, introduced by Keenan, a bill for an act entitled Provide Funding for Behavioral Health System for Future Generations.
House Bill 872 have been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor of the motion signify by voting yes. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 42 have voted yes, 8 have voted no.
42 haven't voted yes, 8 haven't voted no. House Bill 872 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 916, introduced by Mercer, a bill for an act entitled Authorized Transfers and Other Necessary Measures to Implement House Bill 2, Section D.
House Bill 916 have been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor of the motion signify by voting yes. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Senator Bolden, Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 46 have voted yes, 4 have voted no.
46 haven't voted yes, 4 haven't voted no. House Bill 916 has passed the Senate.
That is all, Mr. President.
That objection will go to order business number 5. Messages from the House. That objection will go to order of business number 2, reports of standing committees.
Mr. President, we are committed to judiciary report that House Bill 971 be concurred in. Senator Keith Regeer, Chair, that is all, Mr. President.
That objection will go to order of business number 5, messages from the House. That objection will go to order of business number 3, reports of select committees.
Mr. President, Mr. Speaker, we are conference committee met and considered House amendments to Senate Bill 116 and recommend this conference committee report be adopted. Senator Lynn, Chair. Mr. President and Mr. Speaker, we are free conference committee met and considered Senate amendments to House Bill 566 and recommend this free conference committee be accepted. Senator Keith Regeer, Chair. Mr. President, Mr. Speaker, we are free conference committee met and considered Senate amendments to House Bill 576 and recommend this free conference committee report be adopted, accepted. I recommend the House Bill 576 bill is amended as follows. Senator Usher, Chair. That is all, Mr. President.
That objection will go to order business number 9. Motions, Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. President, I move to re-refer House Bill 821 by Representative Malone to the Finance and Claims Committee.
That objection is ordered. Senator Esp.
Mr. President, Mr. Majority Leader, how about 55? Has it been to us already?
I don't believe that one. I think that one has a zero fiscal note for general fund transfers.
I think we've got 300,000 or something.
We'll give it a minute here.
Stand at ease.
Stand at ease for a second.
Mr. President, move to re-refer House Bill 55 to the Finance and Claims.
That objection is ordered. Seeing no further motions, go to order business number 12, announcements of committee meetings. Senator Esp.
Thank you, Mr. President. Nobody else? Oh, come. Somebody join me. Senate Finance and Claims will go in as soon as we can get there. We have a bunch of executive action to do. We will also go in at 8 in the morning. We have 3 or 4 bills to hear in the morning.
Senator Small.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Senate Business and Labor tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock a.m., we're going to have a hearing and a couple executive actions. And also, upon adjournment, if anybody's actually still here, free conference committee on House Bill 539 in room 335. And the Senate members would be Senator Treibus and Senator Bowman.
Senator Solomon.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. We have Senate Education, like 5 minutes. One quick bill.
Senator Glenn.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise on the point of personal privilege.
Senator.
Mr. President, members, I take offense, and I am kind of ashamed of this narrative that we continue to have that we aren't funding nursing homes. We sat in this very body 2 days ago, and we passed a budget. Right now, our current rate, in relationship to the benchmark done by the study, our current rate is 76%. The governor proposed, for the first year of the biennium going forward, 90% in the first year and 85% in the second year. As that left here 2 days ago, the first year of the biennium will be at 94% of the benchmark and 100% in the second year. So we went from 76% to 100%. So I take offense that we aren't doing anything for nursing homes. We're doing a huge amount to help nursing homes. I just wish we realized it.
Senator Lenz.
Mr. President, Conference Committee for Senate Bill 149, myself, Senator Manzella, Senator Olson, tomorrow at 3 o'clock in room 350.
Senator Hertz.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I give a basketball committee report?
Senator Hertz.
Thank you, members, and thank you for putting up with me throughout the session on the basketball. The basketball is going to be officially retired today. However, yes. For those of you who bought raffle tickets, thank you. We are almost at $11,000. Tomorrow in the fan window at 12:45, the raffle tickets will be drawn. There's 26 people who bought the $300 ticket, so you got 1 in 26 chance of winning something. And there's 77 who bought the other tickets. So you need to be at the fan window. If you're not there, you can give somebody your proxy as to what prize you would like. But if no one's there, you'll just be moved down to the bottom of the list, so you may get what's left over if you don't show up. So, but certainly appreciate it. We raised record amounts of dollars this year. Thanks to everybody's generosity. So thank you.
Good job. Senator Escher.
Thank you, Mr. President. Tomorrow, 11 o'clock, Conference Committee for Senate Bill 211.
Senator Prattell.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate local government is closed for business unless you guys send us some new stuff. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Lang.
Thank you, Mr. President. Tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, House Bill 738, Senators Heinbaugh and Senator Lynch, room 335, please, 8 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Senator Zolnikoff.
Thank you, Mr. President. We have a free conference committee for Senate Bill 407 in room 350, but we'll be waiting for a member to finish with Senator Smalls. So once you guys get done, we'll be in. We'll be over there in about 15 minutes, so hurry it up.
Senator Dunwell.
Thank you, Mr. President. Point of personal privilege is why I rise, please.
Senator.
Mr. President, members of the body, I was sitting here reflecting throughout our session today on the empty gallery, and it kind of fills me with a sense of emptiness, too. You know, no kiddos, looking anxious, looking excited, looking bored, no families, no lobbyists, no reporters. You know, it's a sad day in the people's house. I hope it doesn't last long.
I'll make a quick announcement. I would like to recognize the wife of Senator Hertz over there in the corner with the Senate. Say hi. Welcome to the Senate. And Kate is certainly the better half. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate stand adjourned until the hour 1 o'clock on April 26, 2023, the 83rd Legislative Day.
You've heard the motion of the Majority Leader. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. Ayes have it. Senate will stand adjourned until tomorrow, 1 o'clock.